Live Creative Now, episode 77.
Welcome to Live Creative Now with Melissa Dinwiddie, a weekly podcast to inspire you to create your art and share your work, because that's how you will change the world.
Hello, I am Melissa Dinwiddie, passion pluralite, artist, happiness catalyst, and creativity instigator, here to address all your questions about living a full-color creative life. Whether you think of yourself as not artistic, not creative, or you think of yourself as an artist of any kind, or anything in between, no matter how you define yourself, feeding your creative hungers makes you feel more alive. And it's how you change the world. My last episode, episode 76, was about the creative process, specifically the process of designing a cover for my forthcoming book, The Creative Sandbox Way, which is set to publish on November 15th. Oh my God, it's coming up so fast and I have so much to do still. Anyway, the creative process of designing a cover is not always an easy or painless process, definitely not for me. And today, I actually have more to share about that. I am opening the kimono, as they say, and giving you some behind the scenes that up until now, only my launch team ambassadors and my Creative Sandbox members have gotten to hear about. So here's the thing. The best thing about self-publishing a book is that you have total control. If you go through a traditional publisher, your book is going to take up to 2 years to hit the shelves. Whereas if you self-publish, you can sell your book immediately. As soon as you've got that file ready, you can upload it and start selling. If you go with a traditional publisher as well, you have basically no control over the design of the book. The publisher decides what the interior design is going to be and what the cover design is going to be. And you may get to have a little bit of input, but you do not get to make those decisions. They are out of your hands. So the best thing about self-publishing a book is that you have total control. You get to make those decisions. The worst thing about self-publishing a book is that you have total control. You have to make all those decisions. Last week, as I mentioned in the podcast, I put up a poll for my subscribers to vote for their favorite cover. I had spent hours working up cover designs, and a whole bunch of you voted. And then, like the same day, I had some feedback from someone whose opinion I trust, not a random person, not a flamer, but somebody whose opinion I really trust, who had been hesitating on sharing this feedback, but ultimately she did. And she felt that the cover designs, which if you've seen them, they all feature a photo of me with my arms raised up in the air, this sort of like, yay, hooray pose. That is all over my website. They combine that photo with me with my doodle artwork. And she felt that the combination of those things made the book look self-published. Now, of course, it is self-published, but I knew what she meant because, and it was an issue for me because I want this book to look professional and not just appeal to, you know, my ideal book buying individual customer, blocked creative pro who's burning out, person who wishes that they were more creative but is afraid that maybe they're not, all of those individuals. I also want this book to be able to be sort of a calling card for me to help me get work, and specifically to help me get things like speaking gigs and corporate workshops. And the covers that I featured on my poll, my advisor felt, were not going to position me well for that second piece of my goal to get, you know, to be able to present myself in a corporate setting, an organizational setting, and have the book be taken seriously. So, you know, I could have said, you know what, tough, this is it, this is what it's going to be. But this is somebody whose feedback, as I said, I trusted and who knows what she's talking about in terms of the corporate world. So I decided to go back to the drawing board, which was very deflating after sending a poll out to my audience. But the book being the best product that I could possibly create is more important than having a few people annoyed at me because I'm going to send another poll out down the road. Meanwhile, while that's going on, as the text has evolved, and by the way, the manuscript is now with my editor, who is making line edits, and she will have them back to me by Friday at the latest. So the book is basically done. The text of the book is basically done. And as the text has evolved, the metaphor of the creative sandbox way as a path, not just as a method, but as a pathway, as a road, as a route or a journey, that metaphor has become more prominent. And the subtitle that I've been using, Cultivating Happiness Through Creative Play, while it is an accurate summation of the book, it's not really sitting right with me because cultivating is really a gardening metaphor. And what I feel like I need is more of a journey metaphor or a road metaphor. So on top of spending hours and hours and hours rethinking cover designs, I have also been rethinking subtitles. And honestly, it is making me insane. This is the reality of publishing a book when you have high standards. And yes, I am endeavoring to practice imperfectionism with this book, but dang it, it is really hard. All this is to say that I am going to be holding another cover poll. I don't know exactly when, it'll be sometime soon. So if you want to be able to vote on that, make sure that you are subscribed if you're not already a subscriber. Meanwhile, I wanted to share a recent experience because it relates to everything that I talk about. And it's also very timely because right now we are in the middle of the Days of Awe in the Jewish calendar, the Jewish High Holy Days. Yesterday was Rosh Hashanah. It actually started on Sunday night because Jewish holidays start at sundown the night before the day. And I have for many years helped to lead services at my synagogue. We are lay-led, and I've been one of the service leaders for years. We've been holding our own High Holy Day services, I think it's been 23 years now. It's either 21 or 23. It's been a long time. And yesterday I was co-leading this service with somebody else, and we've done it together for 3 or 4 years now, maybe. And it's a 3.5 hour service. So I'm up there standing up in front of, I don't know, a couple hundred people or something, leading this entire service, including leading songs, and because there's a lot of singing in our services. And, you know, for the past several years, this has felt like such a piece of cake to me. It has felt so like delightfully ease filled. I love doing it. It's fun for me and it's not stressful for me. I do not get stage fright. I do not get nervous. But what I want you to know is that it was not always that way. We've been doing these services, my synagogue has been doing these services, as I said, for over 20 years. And the first time, the first at least one or two or maybe three times we held the services, I wasn't one of the leaders, but I did help lead the rounds. We have a lot of songs that are sung as rounds. And so we have people up on stage to lead each of the parts, right? And since I can carry a tune, I got recruited to help lead the rounds. And I remember so like viscerally the nerves, my mouth would get dry. I would be literally shaking because of the adrenaline rushing through me. And the fear that I was not going to be able to hit a high note because I didn't have as much vocal training at that point either. I've studied voice and my voice has gotten so much stronger over the years. So anybody who tells you that you are either a born singer or you're not a born singer is lying. They do not know what they're talking about. I used to not have the high register in my voice. I basically couldn't sing up there. I mean, I could reach some of the notes. I've gotten a bigger range in the past several years as well, but I could barely be heard because I had no strength. And that is something that I developed. It's a skill. So singing is a skill. It's not something you're born with. Anyway, it's just a bit of a digression. I just remember being so phenomenally nervous. And when I got tapped to start helping to lead the services, the High Holy Days is a suite of services. There are many, many services that happen. And on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, there is a service in the morning. It's about three and a half hours. And then there is a suite of services in the afternoon. And the shortest of those services, about 45 minutes long. And that was the first service that I was tapped to lead. It was about, it's about 45 minutes long. And I was terrified. I had to learn. I didn't grow up speaking, you know, Hebrew, or I didn't go to Hebrew school or anything like that. So I had to learn all of these prayers and melodies in Hebrew, which is a language that I only know a few words in. I do not understand this language. A lot of it's biblical Hebrew. And anyway, it was a lot of intense memorizing and memorizing and practicing and practicing and practicing. And I was so, so nervous. Cut to whatever it is, like 18 years later or something, I'm now leading a 3.5 hour service, which I used to lead completely by myself, but now I co-lead because it's more fun to co-lead with somebody else. It takes a lot of the pressure off and it keeps my voice from going totally hoarse also. Anyway, I just wanted to share this with you that, you know, if you have stage fright or if there's something that you want to do, but you feel like you're not good at it, so you don't have the right to do it, I call crap on that. And crap, actually, we need the crap. I talk about this in my book. We need the crap. We need to allow ourselves to make crap. We need to allow ourselves to do the thing, even though it makes us nervous and scared. We need to allow ourselves to do the thing, even though, God, when I led services 20 years ago, I didn't have nearly as good a voice as I do now, but I still did it. And I got better and better and better over the years. And now I'm so comfortable doing this thing that used to terrify the crap out of me. And as I like to say, we need the crap. We need to allow ourselves to create crap because it's the crap that fertilizes the good stuff. You're never going to get to the good stuff if you don't let yourself make crap because you're never going to make anything. And also remember this, just because you allow yourself to make crap doesn't mean that you will, but it does mean that you'll create. And if you don't allow yourself to make crap, you will not create. So that is what I want to share with you. If you are celebrating the High Holy Days, Shana Tova, I hope you have a wonderful High Holy Days and a Happy New Year. If you are not celebrating the High Holy Days, I hope that this story will help you to just leap forward and try that thing that you have been secretly or not so secretly longing to try, but have been afraid to try, because it is the doing of it and letting yourself do it crappily, if that's a correct adverb, that is what is going to help you learn how to do it better. We need the crap to fertilize the good stuff. That is what I have to share today. So that's it. That's a wrap. Thank you so much for joining me today. As always, if you are getting value out of this podcast, please tell a friend. The best way to thank me is to tell your friends. And also, if you haven't already, I would be so, so phenomenally grateful if you would hop on over to iTunes and leave a rating and review. Actually, type in a review. It could be one sentence, whatever. And if you need step-by-step instructions, you can find them at livecreativenow.com/iTunes-review. That's livecreativenow.com/iTunes-review. Technically, it's a hyphen, iTunes-review. I'm a grammatical punctuation stickler. Anyway, you got that. Yeah, that's it. So until next time, thank you again for joining me, and go get creating. Mwah!
Live creative now. Live creative now.
Subscribe at livecreativenow.com.